Well, should we open with this that I thought was funny?
Yes, what it celebrates in my lamenting the four-wheel drives Mexico has that we don't. That sounds
Yeah.
fantastic.
All
Oh,
right.
and speaking of that, hold on, because we're doing our Cinco de Mayo episode, it turns out.
We're gonna save
I
it for
have a
next.
Pacifico.
Oh, look at that. Look at you. All right. So,
Viva la Mexico.
first off, the first one is the Jimny, which
Yeah.
obviously.
I think they're rad. They're so
Obviously
cool.
the Jimny is one we're upset we don't get here. Their second on the list is a Hilux,
There is
which I mean we have a Tacoma, but
there's talk
you
that
know.
the Hilux might become international and the Tacoma might become less.
I would assume that the other direction, that the Hilux would become the Tacoma. That's just
Well,
my assumption.
it's been talked about. It was in a article I was reading that they were talking about that because of all the tariffs and no tariffs and the back and forth and this and that on trucks. They're like, well, if it's going to cost us this much anyway, we might as well bring the truck over that we can build for cheaper. But
That's
I don't know if there's any like actual validity to that.
yeah, that's an interesting thought experiment. Okay.
I'd love to see all the Tacoma Bros heads explode if they don't get Tacomas anymore.
It's Hilux is
Now it's
available
Hilux.
2026.
Jesse would
Yeah.
be so happy.
But would it be the
Yeah,
first
the
gen
first gen Hilux though. Yeah.
Hilux now?
Montero Sport, because
We don't
yeah.
get that, huh?
Yeah, no, we
Which
don't.
I guess it just
We
looks like
stuck
an
with
Outlander.
Monteros after the third gen.
If this was available locally, third row, all the bells and whistles like it is
No one would buy it because no one buys
shown here,
Mitsubishis.
it would
yeah,
be,
that's true.
yeah, it's nobody buys Mitsubishi, but
They'd
I'd be on the
just
list
buy
for the
a
Haley
Honda
stuff.
Pilot or a RAV4, things like
Yeah.
that. But yeah, it's an L200 chassis, so which they made trucks on as
Nice.
well. So,
Cool.
so those are cool. The Nissan NP300,
All right, I'm into
which
that.
is a funny looking
It's a cheap
Nissan
little
truck.
truck, yeah.
But yeah, it's a total tradie truck for sure.
Around the world, those are getting more and more popular. And then here in the US, they're like, no. You need a King Ranch. You can't work unless you've got massaging leather seats all made from the same cow.
That's America. Is that a Navara? Is
I
that the
know.
same thing as a Navara? The Nissan?
No, the Navara is a mid-size truck. Yeah.
All right.
Renault Duster
Oh, yeah.
Orange,
A lot of
which looks
Renaults.
like a Subaru Baja to me, but
It's similar to what the Volkswagen truck was, isn't it? Doesn't it look like that?
you think of the Amarok?
the
Yeah.
Amarok,
Wasn't the Amarok a Ranger or something weird?
yeah. I don't know.
I don't know. This says Ford Ranger, but it's talking about and it's showing new pictures, which doesn't make sense because what it's talking about is the fact that they made the Ford Ranger continually there. They never stopped making it. And also the new Super Duty that
That Super Duty Ranger
won't
has been
get.
growing on me
So
every time I see it.
just, funny, some interesting choices because I don't think that I've ever even heard of the Renault Duster, so I don't
No.
know that this is one I'm upset that Mexico got and we didn't.
I've definitely seen those, but I'm not upset that we don't have them.
Yeah.
I know nothing about them, and I'm not a,
I was.
I would have brought up more that cheap Toyota, that tiny cheap Toyota truck. That thing looks like it's going to be rad, and we're just never going to get it.
Speaking of the Navara, though, Sean, I agree. That's one that is a little upsetting that we didn't get.
For sure. I was
Have
wrong on
to
the.
have the stupid Frontier.
I was wrong. Yeah. Which, yeah. I was wrong on the Amarok, by the way. I think it's just a Volkswagen chassis. I thought for some reason that it
Yeah.
shared something, but I guess it doesn't. Who knows?
Speaking of Frontiers, though, Dave Chappelle, of the off-road community, not the comedian, just got a Frontier Pro 4X. That's going to be his daily runabout truck, which is interesting because he apparently had been looking for one for quite some time, found exactly the one he wanted, sold the little Suzuki he had been daily driving, and then got it. But apparently, and I didn't know this, I thought from what 2007 till 2019, they were all exactly the same. But apparently there is a year like 2009 to 2013 or something is the best one. And I don't understand how, because I thought they were all exactly the same.
Well, cause so they had an oil cooler issue where the oil cooler was, it was mixing, coolant into the transmission.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Okay. So
and,
like in the,
and it was like a line swap was all they had to do so that it, the flow went a different direction or something like that. And that
so
was,
it wouldn't fail. Into
so
that.
It wouldn't like okay. fail in that way. Which of all the earlier ones, people started doing that.
And it was fine.
And it was fine. And then by the later ones, they had fixed that. But I, yeah, I don't know what a huge amount. We'd need our Nissan expert.
Yeah, we need Luke.
Luke.
Yeah.
Or
Luke,
Brandon.
Go ahead and call in.
Because, but we've, I mean, not that we've ever mentioned Brandon or had Brandon on here before, but Brandon would also know. He's a good Nissan.
We should bring him in just for a Nissan Frontier, like, through the years podcast. Give him a very narrow scope and then never invite him back again. We've given you, you get 15 minutes. You got to tell us everything you know about Nissan Frontiers and then leave. That would be mean, but I also think it would probably be his speed for how much he would want to talk to a microphone and people that aren't here.
Hmm.
I don't know.
Oh.
Fun fact about the Nissan Navara and Frontier. Now that I've just been looking at this while you guys are talking, the previous generation, the second generation D40, is the same as a Navara. They're like the our vehicle and the other one was the same. The first U.S. market only one is the current generation.
Really?
That's what Wikipedia says.
Says Wikipedia.
And I did some.
So anybody could have wrote that, though.
I did a little cross Google, and it seemed
Sean
true.
Just went in there and changed it to say that, and then told us that that's what
first
Wikipedia says.
Most recent modification by.
Yeah.
Yep.
Got you figured out.
Nissan made the most international available U.S. truck. For the last 20 years.
Yeah, I think that's probably the way to look at it. Definitely.
All right.
Also the least popular.
Also the
didn't
least popular.
Sell for shit.
Causation of correlation? Who knows?
And yet they never stopped selling it. Yeah.
I did actually, when I was doing my little dive for news for the show, I did notice that there's a Drive article. I didn't really read it. I just read the headline that the Frontier was going to go to a hybrid model. They're like the last holdout, apparently, that had not done that. So good old Nissan, late to the party.
Late to the party.
Still doing it.
Per the usual.
Yeah. To me, Nissan's just confused at this point because other truck manufacturers went hybrid and then have like slowed that process down. It doesn't seem like they're pushing the hybrid models as much, or at least advertising them as much. But whatever happened, so Nissan was going to get bought by Honda. It didn't get bought by Honda. They were going to work together, but then they didn't. And then now they're just not failing like they said they were going to fail within the next 60 days.
Yeah, I think there was more to that story because I remember reading it. Did we talk about it here once? After the fact,
we've gone over it a little bit, like kind of as it developed,
yeah. But I know, the talks were terminated, but now what? As Mike said,
yeah, that's what I'm just like. Then we were all right.
What happens next?
We're gonna go hybrid, I guess. like where are they getting the money to redo their chassis?
The CEO of Nissan stepped down a month ago.
Didn't somebody like move out of country or like sneak out of the country?
Was that Nissan or was that somebody else? There was something like that though. You're right.
It was like he shipped himself out of the country in a box.
Yeah, I got nothing here. merger, blah, blah, blah. Oh, God, Reddit is such a dumpster fire of commentary. I love it sometimes, but I also absolutely hate it. Yeah, just like the Honda Nissan may still be, it's up in the air.
All right.
So it's up in the air.
Former Nissan CEO, Carlos, I don't know how to say his last name.
Oh, give it a stab. Let's hear it.
Yeah.
Come on, Mike.
Come on.
How white are you?
Hosen? I'm guessing silent G. Hosen?
Spell it.
G-H-O-S-N. Gosen?
Gosen?
He doesn't look like a Gosen.
I wouldn't know what a Gosen looks like.
Sorry. I don't know.
He's an old guy.
What do you mean?
I would never... I don't think anybody is a Gosen. I've never heard of that one before. Except goose. There's multiple geese. They're Gosens. Anyway, facing financial misconduct charges.
Arrested. That was good. Arrested. I remember that. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. So he was facing charges in Japan, fled the country in December of 2019, hiding in a large musical instrument case.
Nice.
Excellent. He's now in Lebanon as an international fugitive.
How do you, he was at, by the time he was 30, he was the chief operating officer for Michelin tires for South America. So
there you go.
And now he is a fugitive.
And it's like his escape, according to the internet, his escape was widely criticized. Well, yeah, he ran from the cops to a country that doesn't have extradition. You're like, yeah, well, we better criticize that.
Oh, because he's...
Bad.
It says... What is... Okay, so he's from Brazil.
Mm-hmm.
Citizenship in Lebanon, France, and Brazil.
Hmm.
Interesting.
Just went to Japan and decided that he was going to ditch tax evasion.
Yeah, I'm just curious how he pronounces it now.
Yeah, right?
Oh, my God. According to multiple unverified reports, he hired a full Gregorian band to play a holiday concert at his Tokyo apartment where he was being held. Then, with the help of a hired team of ex-special forces officers who specialize in extracting people from captivity, he crawled into an instrument case, perhaps a large double bass, and the band carried him away when they left the apartment at the end of the party.
Wow.
Genius. Sean won't be able to hear this.
Gone.
So it's just gone.
Gone.
So the H O S
and N. Well, the N's, yeah. So the H O S.
G H O. So the S is silent.
And the H.
Well, gone.
Gone.
G H.
The way they spell it for pronouncing it is just
yes.
G O W N.
Apparently, he stole $32 million from Nissan.
Allegedly.
Carlos Ghosn. Carlos Ghosn. Yeah, he's gone, all right. He's gone in
going,
a fucking
going to Lebanon.
Instrument
yeah.
carrying case.
Apparently, he also just didn't pay the people who snuck him out.
Wow. So, ducked on paying it for that, too? Jeez.
They should have known.
I'm not going to pay my taxes.
What a guy.
Yeah. That's a hell of
That's
a story.
That's pretty funny. It's a New York Post article. We stuffed Carlos in a 3-foot box to escape, and he owes us $1 million.
Oh, my God. Yeah. This is crazy. Yeah, I mean, he still claims that he's innocent, too. He's not.
Well, yeah, you gotta escape.
He and his wife also say that he did not get smuggled out of the country, that he actually just left on his own free will. But I don't know where their proof is for that. Who knows?
Hmm. Like a dog with a bone on this. It says it's a Spanish name with a French pronunciation.
Ah.
Last name, the GH in Gon is pronounced as a hard G sound, like similar to go.
Go.
Gon.
Hmm.
So.
Okay.
Interesting.
Interesting.
So many things we're learning today, guys.
On what? Where are we learning it?
Oh, it's the
I think it's the Campfire Passport Podcast.
With a silent H.
Yeah.
CH.
We hid the H in there somewhere. The GH is somewhere in there.
Hidden. Campfire.
That's pretty good. Well, do we have any other, did you guys find any other news? Do you have any other newsy kind of things other than this news from 2018 that we just covered extensively?
No. Yeah, anybody else got an interesting name that we could start figuring this out?
No, that was my only thing that I found was the Cinco de Mayo stuff. So,
all right, I'm going to share my screen for 1 second because this is a Drive article that is not.
Okay, 1 second.
It's not really news. What am I waiting for?
You said what? You said you're only going to share it for.
Oh,
1 second.
I see.
Make it quick. Let's go.
Funny. All right, ready. Yeah,
turn it right off.
And.
Yeah.
Stop sharing.
I never saw anything.
Oh, dang. Didn't even make it 1 second.
It's just a blank screen.
It does say issue, actually.
Oh, does it? Damn. It
gave me a pop-up that says issue.
Damn.
But it doesn't have any information. It just says issue.
Yeah, well, we don't want you to know what it is. We don't want to worry you with all these petty details.
All right.
It's just not going to work.
Yeah, it's not loading, Sean.
You can't see it at all?
You're supposed to say, can you see that?
Can you see it?
Nope.
Can you see it now?
Blank screen.
Can you see it now? Damn it. All right. Well,
no, I can.
Oh, wait. Did you say yes? No. All right. Nope. Fine. Whatever.
Nobody said yes, not once.
It was, I heard now, but that was it. Well, it was a engine driven winch in like a Suzuki. It was kind of cool. Called it a God winch. And it was interesting because it was an SR20 powered vehicle as well, which I thought was just odd and cool.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's not, is it like one of those like competition winch trucks or something?
Yeah. You should Google God winch and see what you come up with. I'm interested. WINCH. Just remember.
Oh, is it a hard?
It's a hard I.
Is it a hard CH?
With a silent H.
Yeah.
Actually.
Let's see what we got here. Yeah. Okay. I see. PTO God winch. Let's see here. Maybe let's see if my share screen works for Sean.
I bet it works just fine.
It's telling me to refresh and rejoin the studio. Yeah, that's it right there. Pretty cool though. If you watch the video of it in action, it's wild. It just pulls the thing up like it's absolutely nothing. It looks like it's just like the most capable thing you've ever seen because it just crawls right up things.
Yeah, this is what I was expecting, was the Malaysia
man
type stuff. Yeah, that's that guy from that show that wishes they could be four-wheel drive 24/7 but isn't.
So hold on.
Go on. Let's get to the action.
Just winches right off the crank?
It's like a PTO drive off like a it's like PTO. A transfer case.
Oh, cool.
This doesn't seem like it's
speed and hardcore.
This is like the
here we go. This is like camping class.
Camping class? That's a camping class, right?
I want to compete in that.
This is the Overlander. Still driving on the road. It's not really giving me the. Let's see, maybe the. Here we go. Here's a nice little short video.
Yeah, there we go.
Super winch.
Doesn't have the winch out yet.
He looks like he's camping class.
And he's stuck before he even got in there.
Thanks.
Oh, there he goes.
It's
oh
going in.
God.
Just
okay. It's filled. The cab is full of water. Oh my god. How many times does it have to load a 1 minute video?
You just have to swim out real quick.
Okay. It's trying to release something down there.
I would think you'd want most of that
riveting
stuff
radio
before you're underwater.
Oh my god.
Come on.
Water's above the gauge cluster.
It's at his nipples.
Yeah, look at it go.
Does it still didn't show what the winch winch jobber at all. What the hell? Come on.
All right.
Give me something here.
Yeah.
Okay, here we go. Here's this guy. He's showing us.
He puts it in gear.
Okay.
Yeah, that's how it works. I saw that.
Yeah. Oh, he's pulling the truck.
Oh, my God. We're going off the ground.
He's going to the ceiling.
He goes, oh, we should
so you engage it, put your transmission in drive, and use your left foot or right foot, to
make it go.
So, yeah, it's got like a clutch on it.
Yeah, that looks like a multi-plate clutch.
Yeah.
Weird.
That's pretty cool. And what we got here? Two and a half men clip. All right.
I thought it was friends for a second.
Whatever. Okay. Two and a half men. Yeah. Cool. That's the perfect follow up to Godwinch information.
I am a tiger.
Jesus.
Or whatever he was.
Okay. Well,
tiger blood. Isn't that what he?
Yeah.
Charlie.
He's winning.
That was all I had for news. That wasn't really news. It was just an interesting thing I found. So, you know, there you go.
Yeah.
I have some personal automotive news.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
Did you put 42s on your truck?
No, that'd be cool.
Not yet.
Haley's car exploded. I don't think I've been in here and talked about it.
No.
Yet. So
we all saw it on the internet.
Yeah, I was merging onto the highway and the rear drive shaft exited the entirety of the car and took the transmission and transfer case and rear end kind of with it. So it got totaled. Turns out mechanical failures, the first thing to go isn't covered, and everything else is. So, like, it blew a U-joint, which took out the rest of the drive shaft, which took out the transmission and transfer case and rear end. Well, the U-joint was the failure point, and everything after that is covered by insurance. So the way the lady explained it to me, she's like, well, if your tire blows out and your car rolls 30 times, you know, we're covering your car and all
not
the things
the
you hit.
You're not getting that
one tire. No, just that one. That one tire you're responsible for.
Oh. Like,
it caused an accident, and then, you know, we cover the accident. So I bought Haley's car for $5,000. We put Apple CarPlay and new tires on it. Tyson did a motor mount and some other stuff. So all said and done, we were about like $6,500 into it, maybe a little more, maybe a little less. I took the tires and wheels off and put on some rollers that were just garbage. I took the Apple CarPlay out and we got $7,000 for it from the insurance. So I still have Apple CarPlay ready to go and a brand new set of tires on some 20s ready to go. So we're going to find Haley a new car.
Did you pull all the install parts of the deck out so you could put it in another Escalade?
Yeah, yeah. Yep, I took the whole thing. Because I had all the stock stuff, and it just plug and plug. So,
yeah,
so that's the next plan is we're going to find her a new car. And I'm sending her a bunch of stuff. She wants a white Tahoe this time instead of a black Escalade. I was like, you bet. We'll figure it out.
All right. But
that's the next step there. And then Jeep got traded off, and I have a F-250, 2005 6.0 F-250.
We did talk about that, didn't we?
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Yeah.
We did.
I think you guys did, though. I don't think I was here for it.
Mm.
Yeah, you were.
No.
Yep.
Was I?
Because you defended yourself.
Yeah, that sounds right.
On the overcorrection.
Okay. Not an overcorrection. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's not as big of an overcorrection as I think you guys have expected.
How do you get bigger?
Oh, there's buses, there's vans, there's
fire trucks.
Fire trucks, yeah. You can get much bigger. I don't know what you're talking about, Sean.
All right, fair. You could even get a smaller fire truck. That's how big the truck is.
You get a small bus, and it's still...
Yeah.
But yeah, so we camped out of that this last weekend, and it was great. It was really, really nice.
Nice. I'm surprised you didn't finagle a way to buy back the Escalade to keep the engine.
You know, I looked into it, but they wanted almost $3,000 for it.
No way. That's crazy.
Apparently, they're going to, like, you can part it out enough that it's worth enough to them. Because I was like, oh, yeah, anything under $1,500 or maybe even up to $2,000, I might have considered it.
Yeah.
But, nope. And with the transmission already blown up, I don't know that, to me, it's worth it in that sense. I'll get Tyson to forward the pictures over, and I'll send them to the group. But the casing on the transmission, that 6L80, was split in, like, 5 different places.
Jeez.
Just destroyed.
That's insane.
The housing. So I can't imagine anything inside of it is salvageable either.
How did camping with the truck go? What was that like? I mean, it was kind of like a campground camp, but what'd you get? What'd you do?
It was. We dry camped at Crane Hot Springs, which was awesome. We love going there. And so it was Miles' birthday camp trip with my parents were there in their RV. Our neighbors came in an RV. My brother brought his trailer. Multiple people had water leak into their campers over this trip, which was funny because our tent was dry as a bone. Had zero issues in that sense. Past that, we had our Batwing, our 270 I got from Tyson the whole weekend, staked down and square, and it was really nice. Having that full truck bed, we had a ton of space to just like throw things back in there so they weren't sitting outside and getting wet. And then having a tailgate makes a really nice table. So we used our Oz tent for the whole weekend and had a pop-up and our awning. But it's very nice to just be able to throw everything in the back and spread it out and make it like actually have room that I can weight bias things the way I want to and put things in places that I want to put them. And especially with this last weekend, because it was Miles' birthday party, so we had like presents and gear for a party and all kinds of other stuff so that we could feed people that were going to be there and that kind of jazz. So I had tons of room for all that. I did learn that my truck does not like to keep my refrigerator running for long periods of time. It's already dual battery, but it eats them pretty quick. So we're going to try and figure out a house power thing and just make something happen there. Didn't have to use our heater.
It seems like you could be the kind of person that benefits from like one of those like Red Arc power blocks or something of that scenario.
The Go Box thing.
Yeah, because when you switch to another vehicle, of course, or get another thing, there's
I don't know what you're talking about.
Then you could just kind of go between rigs. Whether that's temporary, like you got another Jeep, or permanent, like you got another Jeep.
No, I think that's the plan, is to get something that is portable like that, because we already have the one that we bought a while back that we used for our diesel heater. And it's a little bit small to run a lot, but it'll run a fridge for like a whole day, or to run the diesel heater for like a whole night. But it doesn't last with both of them for very long. But we bought like I said, a couple years ago, and it's a smaller setup. So I think the plan is to get something portable or modular like that.
Yeah. That makes sense.
I think we'll probably also end up with a cheap, like bumper pull trailer for these types of trips. Anyway, the prices on like 90s and early 2000s pull behind bumper pull smaller trailers have dropped significantly. You can get something for like $2,500 to $3,500, and I'm like, in a campground, which we have like 4 campground trips, it'd be nice to have all that stuff separated and ready to go, and then I can have our overlanding camp gear in its own space and not have to like try and make stuff work for one thing and work for the other thing. I can have them separated.
Have you thought about a 4-wheel camper?
You know, we thought about it. Great experience. Have had a few of them.
Sorry.
No, I get it.
Full circle. It's a Ford, right? So he's kind of
I want to be able to have them separated. Yeah. I'm not going to bring a camp trailer to our, Alvord trip or any of that stuff. I don't want to have it all the time. I want
Colin,
a tent.
Can you make the title under Mike's name? Will bring a trailer on the Alvord trip.
Yeah. If we're just staying at the Alvord, sure. I'll drop Haley and Miles there.
Most likely to to bring a trailer? Yeah. I saw, oh, I didn't send it to you. I saw on when we were out this weekend, I saw a just busted trailer so bad. Now, it was a crappy trailer, pretty obviously like a home built thing. But I was going to send it to Colin just to be like, see, this is why you never bring a trailer, because I knew it'd be near and dear to his heart to hear that.
Yeah. No, I don't want to bring a trailer on that kind of setup, and I don't want a camper to be on the truck permanently. I want it to be separated. I want to have options.
Sure.
Because, I mean, it rained, it hailed. We had like 15 mile. There you go. We had like 15 mile an hour winds, and our Oz tent like is rad through all of that.
That's good.
No issues. I didn't even set up the diesel heater. I didn't do anything. I preheated it with the little buddy, got in and slept through the night, and it was comfortable and warm and dry, and it's really good tent. Takes like 30 seconds to set up once you get it out of the bag. So I think I'll stick with that for most things.
Cool.
Or my tent cot when it's just me.
There you go.
That's my favorite setup. When it's just me and Miles, and we could just throw the tent cot in there. I know, I think Seamus used it this weekend, didn't he? Yeah.
He did.
So I don't know how that went, because Tyson hasn't told me how it all went down. But
Everything that I saw was, it went well, and it actually went better than the OVS tent did for Tyson and Kate.
Oh, no.
Uh-oh.
Because we also got rained on.
Yeah.
And
well, we weren't far away, because we had lightning and thunder, and they closed down the pool.
We didn't get any lightning or thunder, but we did get some like bouts of heavy rain on night two.
Okay.
But yeah, you could tell. So with having his and Jesse's, who has an Oz tent as well, like side by side, you could tell the differences in them.
Oh, interesting.
And I think what is going on here is Oz also makes like an Oz LTE or a light something like that.
They do. That doesn't have like a rain fly and has
I
some
believe
other stuff.
That the OVS, that is what that is.
Oh.
The material is thinner and it's just not quite as heavy duty.
Like, yeah.
And it's kind of obvious. And so he was getting that very front bar where the door is, where it ends, there's a seam that's right on the bar from the front wall to the ceiling.
Right.
And that was allowing water in.
Oh.
Was along that seam. And my guess is that the OVS one is just the light one, which is referred to as like, it's not necessarily
it's not waterproof.
All weather tent.
Yeah, it says specifically that they're like water resistant up to X, and I think it like equals a sprinkle.
Mm.
Yeah.
Like the Oz tent, like we have, I think we have an RX4 or something is what it's.
RV, I believe is their terms.
Yeah, I was just.
Or maybe it is RS. There's RV and there's R. Yeah, RV is the main ones.
Ours isn't made anymore, though. They stopped ours because it had the front room. It has like a full front room that can come off of it and some other things. But anyway, I think ours.
They still make that.
Oh, I was looking. Anyway, yeah. Ours is considered waterproof.
There's the three?
Four.
Four. RV4.
It has a whole front room with a floor and everything. It's rad. When we have time and set up the whole thing, it's like. You got to stay there because that goes from a quick setup tent to a long setup tent. But it has a rain fly for like extended heavy weather, but it says specifically like you'll be fine for most things.
Yeah, the Oz Light RV3 Light says it's made from waterproof and fire retardant and UPF 50 plus ripstop polyester. So, which I don't know why. Yeah. It says waterproof, which for the most part it was.
Right.
It was just that one seam. It couldn't handle the amount of rain that was coming through. And see, this is saying.
No, we're the RX.
This is saying RX4.
Yeah.
RX4. Discontinued.
I know, that's what I'm saying. We were stoked to have it because that front room's bigger than the rest of the tent. It's got this front room option.
Waterproof 8-ounce ripstop polycotton and heavy-duty heat-sealed PVC floor for the regular ones, for like the, which is their regular material. But anyway, like I said, like you could
yeah.
You could look and feel the difference in like material quality. So yeah, the OVS tent, I know that it's a good amount cheaper, but it does not stack up to.
Well, and this one, it says even in the front page on here, fully waterproof four season tent.
How, it must have been some pretty serious rain then, right?
Oh yeah, it was rain and hail.
It was a pretty good downpour. We didn't get any hail.
Oh, you didn't? Okay.
We just got, like I said, we got a pretty heavy downpour. But then the next morning, we got some snow.
Oh.
Just a little flurry. Nothing on the ground or anything like that, but it was just like we were kind of adventuring around and like, oh, started to snow.
We didn't get any snow down at the hot springs, but we had lightning that struck, and then, like, you know how you go one Mississippi, two Mississippi to figure out how far away it was? Mm-hmm. I never got through the first Mississippi. So it was like one missa, and boom. And the guy came running out of the front desk of the hot springs. Everybody out of the pool. We don't want anybody getting crispy. Everybody out of the pool.
Oh, my God.
And they shut it down for, I think, 2 hours or so.
They still make the RX-5.
They do. It's Deluxe, the it says. Big, big boy, though. Yeah. Like RX-4 seems plenty big to me, but the RX-5, it's pretty massive from what I've looked at. But, so, what does Jesse has? Jesse has the RV.
It's either an RV-3?
Three? Or RV-4?
I would guess it's an RV-3 or 4, yeah. I don't know which one exactly it is. But, yeah, either way.
Yeah.
It's better.
So it's not as bad.
But from what I could tell with your little cot tent deal, no issues. Threw the rain fly on it for the rainstorm, and it was no leakage.
And it was all off the ground. Yeah. The water run underneath you. That's good.
Yeah. It didn't have any issues there, but
man,
yeah,
I feel bad that so is Tyson and Kate in the ground tent that got wet, or man,
like I said, it wasn't, from my understanding, it wasn't bad. It was just one of those, oh, hey, it kind of leaks. Like, huh. I mean, there's only one way to find out if it leaks.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
Really, you know, is you're going to find out when, you know, it starts into a bad rainstorm. But they survived. You know?
Yeah,
that's good.
That's good.
I'm looking at the RV4 tent and versus the RX4. We have a skylight also. That's the other big difference, is that my tent has a skylight, which, you know, is important to those of us.
Yeah. Stargazing.
In the night that want to see the sky.
Yep.
But otherwise, this one also says fully 100% waterproof material.
Very serious about the waterproof level.
I'm telling you, and when you make a claim like that,
it better be.
I mean, that's pretty impressive. Premium waterproof. It's in a different spot also. As a premium waterproof ripstop canvas. I was stoked because I pulled a Jesse and I brought my leaf blower. So as soon as the rain stopped, I went around and just leaf blowed off my tent, got it all dried up. So that way it had a chance to dry before I had to put it in the bag. And it was good overnight. But man, I was like, that's a good move, because otherwise it'd be set up in the backyard right now, trying to dry it out.
Yeah, not good.
Uh-huh. See, look at it. See, this says, so the OVS, the one on OVS, it says waterproof 420 Oxford is what it refers to the material as.
Huh.
I don't know what Oxford is. It's not ripstop.
It's not canvas.
Yeah, and the price is also $600, versus the RV3 Lite, which the price is $800.
Yeah.
So maybe even the RV3 Lite is better potentially.
Well,
because it does say it's a certified fire rating, and UPF, so like sun blockage and waterproof. Rips, and it refers to it as ripstop polyester.
Huh.
So somehow,
did they maybe not? Is that maybe describing the rain fly, and they didn't get a rain fly?
Doesn't have a rain fly. No.
No. Okay.
Neither of them do.
That's silly.
Mm-hmm.
Well, on the same token, Sean, how was the weather on your trip?
It was pretty varied, but overall good. We went to Moab, obviously, that's something that you guys know, but just I should say that out loud. Luke and I went,
mm-hmm.
and the first night it was cold. It wasn't like crazy cold, but I didn't really realize that we would be as high in elevation as we were, so we like came down, but then back up. We were in Gateway, Colorado. We weren't in the Moab area yet, okay. So close, but we were still at like I think like 7,000 feet or something, and it's so it was. I think the like forecasted low was somewhere in the 40s, and I think it ended up dropping into the mid 30s. So it wasn't like horrible, but it wasn't super comfortable. My dogs apparently forgot how to camp, so that was quite fun. They couldn't figure out how to not be in the way, so that was anyways. But no weather that day.
Seems right.
Next day was beautiful, sunny and awesome, and lots of sunblock and great. And then the night was awesome, and then on Sunday it rained, so we had rain while we were on the trail. Not crazy, just a little bit, and then lucky no rain in camp. And then it poured pretty good overnight, and we had some little storm, but it wasn't, I mean, like nothing that would matter. Our rooftop tents are on the roof and not on the ground, and so no water seepage on either of them. So,
speaking of that, you got a new tent though, right?
We got a new 23-0 Kabari, which is pretty cool. I'm pretty into it. It is about the same size as my old tent, significantly more comfortable.
Really?
A little heavier. So I think I need a third roof bar now because it rattles on those like gnarly roads. It was bouncing around like crazy.
Didn't you have four at one point?
No, I've always run two bars.
Yeah. You think of an Aaron that had like six.
Aaron, okay. I was like, it was a green Land Cruiser I saw once that had a lot.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was Aaron. Picked the tent up from, there's a shop in Castle Rock called Spirit of 1876.
And
picked it up there. Yeah, this guy's like all over the internet. So I picked it up there and I put it on. He was like, you might want to think about a third bar. And I was like, whatever, man. And he goes, I just worry about your gutters. I've had an 80 series and the gutters are a problem. And I just said, well, you should look at this one on my passenger side that's fucked up from me. And he was like, okay. And I left and didn't think anything about it. And then as soon as I got it, I wasn't ready to install. I had to take it to Luke's house and install it there, which was a whole side quest. But once we put it back on the roof, I realized that it was hitting my, like those slats on the roof, the bottom of the tent flexes on the bars enough to hit it. So I got to figure that out. He was right.
Well,
I hate that he was right, but he was.
This guy who knows what he's talking about knew what he's talking about.
Yeah, whatever.
Damn.
Dude.
I don't want to throw him under the bus because he was a very nice guy. But if you met this guy in person, you would understand what I mean. and that thing was awesome. I very into the tent, much like.
What's better about it?
It is. It feels like 25% nicer in every way. That's what I would say.
So, than what you have.
Yeah. So the zippers are nicer. The little, attachments on the zippers are nicer. The latching system is nicer. All the material feels a little nicer. Like the ladder feels a little nicer. It's got like machined aluminum ends instead of stainless hooky things into fiberglass. Mm-hmm. So like all those little extra pieces really add up for a much better experience. Has lights inside, which are cool. I know lots of tents have lights inside. This is not revolutionary, but it does, and that's the first time I've had it, so that was nice.
Yeah.
It does have one significant drawback that is not related to the weight, which is the other significant drawback. And I did a little research, and I don't know if you guys caught this in our group message, but I originally was like, I can't believe this thing is this heavy. When I started looking, it's all the like dual channel aluminum tents like that pretty much weigh 200 pounds. The mount hood does all of them. Yep. So I was like, okay, it's fine. It's the only thing that's lighter is a GFC. And that is,
well, it's like a 3-bar weight rating probably.
Yeah. And so the GFC is just more money, right? So, and different, different space too. This has really nice, that X hinge thing is really nice for space. I really like that too. That's another thing. It's like 25% better because I can put my feet at the end, because in the old tent, I couldn't do that. So
tall guy.
I can't imagine somebody like 6'5", that would be horrible. You couldn't sleep with another person over 4'10".
I could almost sleep sideways in my old tent. So I know exactly how you feel.
I would sleep diagonal in the CBT. So, but the one downside is for some people would love it, I'm sure, but it's got this like 23-0 sells this thing they call light suppression technology. And it's like a big selling feature on all their tents. The inside is black. The outside is green, but the inside is lined black. Like you can, it feels like it's got like Plasti-Dip on it almost, but it's like part of the material.
It's like matte.
They're not joking. It does not let any light in. None. So if
wasn't that your one complaint about the last tent?
That was my complaint about the other tent too. This one though, I don't know.
So you got one that's more.
I don't know how you could be darker than our other one, but it is.
It turns out.
So anybody that wants a full blackout tent, it's for them. But for me, that part sucks. Luckily, it has some extra windows that the other one didn't have. It has a window like 8 feet and then one above the back door, basically. So it can keep that upper one open as long as it's not 35 degrees outside. And it works out pretty well. So it still could be a little bit more light. That would be neat, but whatever. It's fine. Seems pretty well insulated. I don't think as well insulated as the CBT was. That like quilted liner that was in the one. Mike, you had the same tent.
Yeah.
That makes a difference. Like that thing was really warm. So that'll be a bit of a problem. It does have a heater port though. So I'll be able to put my diesel heater in there and have a nice little space for it. So
there you go.
Yeah, I brought mine. I had it all like ready to go. And then it was like 50 degrees the first night.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, okay.
Yeah, it was warm for fine. Us first night too.
And like, the second night got down to like 45. And I was like, nah, I'm not going to use
it. Got colder where we were second night.
Did
but
it?
Yeah. First night was nothing. But there was more water out there than I have ever seen. There's never
driving
been
through burns.
This much water on the playa.
Really?
Ever.
The river flooded. That's what everybody in Burns was saying, is that the river flooded and it...
That was the week prior.
Yeah, and it overflowed all the canals and all the things they had planned to handle
but
the water were
all
overflowed.
The way down to the Alvord.
Really?
Like, so Aaron went down on Thursday and he was just going to go out there and, you know,
just
find
wait,
a spot, camp and wait for us to show up. And he said it was pretty touch and go.
Yeah.
Getting out onto the playa, and then he started feeling bad about like driving, you know, in some of the spots he was. So he just like found the closest dry spot he could and stopped.
Yeah.
And I was like, huh, okay, well, I guess we'll see what it looks like when we get down there.
I worried about that because it...
We get down there and all the lakes on the way in are like full. Some of these lakes I haven't seen water in since like the first year we went.
They were just green
and
basins.
They were completely full. And then we get down to the Frog Springs entrance or whatever, and it's just there's just water all the way up to the entrance.
Oh wow.
Everything. Man. Like Jesse drove down the road and like stopped at the end of the road and then turned around and came back, and his sidewalls on the 40s were halfway up was just covered in mud.
Oh, yes.
Like, and so he didn't even go out on the playa. It was just down the road, got to the edge, and then turned around and came back and was like, nope, that's definitely not a good idea.
Yeah.
So, yeah. So we ended up going out and around and went on the Sandy Gap Road, which goes into the Little Sand Gap, not Sean's Big Sand Gap.
Right.
Sure.
And went back there in that little dune area and which is kind of nice because it got us up above, you know, the wet
spots. Yeah, yeah.
Zone. And we camped out there for the first night.
How's the wind?
None.
None?
Yeah, we got it was a little breezy.
Yeah.
Like typical breezy for there. And no like real serious wind.
Our second night, it was like 15, 20 mile an hour gusts.
Yeah. The thunderstorm gusts. Yeah. Yeah.
I was like, man, this thing is, I had my awning staked down, but I checked it occasionally. Mm-hmm. And like, I was like keeping an eye on it and it worked really well and it didn't move and it didn't give me any trouble. But I was like, I've never had this out before in a windy situation. I've got the double stakes at an X. And I was like, really making sure everything was tight. I was like, all right. But I was worried about, I was like, I wonder how the wind is going to do for you guys. Cause I assumed you would be on the playa. And I was like, you'd probably have room to pick up and really get excited out there. But
yeah. Well, I mean, like I said, first night we didn't spend both nights on the playa or near the playa since we weren't on the playa at all. But yeah, the first night, first day we're out there, we pulled in and it was like 73.
Yeah, it was so nice.
Nice.
It was warm, sunny. Like it was
Friday.
It was gorgeous.
Gorgeous. Yeah,
that was a great day. And then we took the same road. Remember the year that we went out there and Bailey three wheeled the 100 series over that dune?
Yeah.
We took that same route out, and then we actually stopped at Borax Lake.
Okay.
And checked out that area. So that was kind of cool. Then did the usual field stop, and then since it was so wet, we decided that it would be a poor choice to try and do the Mike's Dirty Deep Holes in reverse.
Yeah, I was like, I don't think it's a good idea this year. Yeah,
bad idea. So we just took the pavement out to French Glen, or a little past French Glen, and went into the Diamond Craters area and found a spot kind of around the Diamond Craters stuff and posted up there, found kind of a cool spot pretty close to the refuge.
Yeah.
And tons of fucking birds out there, like crazy amounts of birds.
I was just guessing in my head about the things that you guys might do. And I was like, well, I know there's that little like RV circle that has the big overhang. Like maybe they would end up there. But I know you talked about doing the Dirty Deep Holes in reverse. And Jesse sent me a message because we were talking about 40s, because he keeps sending me 40s every time he finds one. And I was like, those would help with the mud road. And he goes, I really hope we don't do that. And I was like, well, we'll see. So.
Yeah. Yeah. Did not. But yeah, the Diamond Craters area is pretty cool. We went and checked out a bunch of the craters.
Yeah. as one would. Yeah.
So yeah. So that was good. But yeah, we had that weird rain storm. That we kind of like. It was fine when we showed up. Wasn't windy, really. It's like, you know, a little breezy, but nothing crazy. Everybody got set up and all that. And then, like, it was like the second I started the fire, it started to rain. It was like, huh, okay, well, you know, and it wasn't too bad at first. And then it just, like, started coming down. So I, like, piled wood on the fire and then went and hung out under an awning and waited for that one to pass. And, like, we got hit with, like, three waves. Yeah.
We had similar, like, and it was like maybe two and a half hours for us. Mm-hmm. But it was like coming down during that time frame. And then sometimes it let up, and it would. So I had Miles and then one of the other boys that came out for his birthday party. And they were like, we had gotten ready to go get in the pool because that's what they wanted to do. And I was like, great. I would love to go sit in this hot, soaking pool. And it started to rain, and I was like, all right, well, let's get everybody prepped and ready. It doesn't matter, you can be in there in the rain, it'll be nice. And as soon as everybody was in their pool clothes, I looked out and it went boom, and went like, I was watching it go from like this not so bad rain to just this wave of insane dump come through. And I was like, oh, okay, well, we're all in our, you know, get wet clothes, it's not a big deal. And I was like, okay, on the count of three, we're just going to run over to the pool and we'll get into the changing area and drop all our stuff. And I said, 1, 2, 3. And then a second wave of hail came through as we're running. We're just getting pelted with hail and the kids are yelling and screaming and having a good time. And that's when we got to the changing area and the thunder and lightning started happening. And they were like, no, nobody's getting in there. And we're all soaking wet, covered in hail. And we're like, okay, well, it's really cold now. So. That was fun. And the rule there is, in case you're ever wondering, It's 30 minutes after you hear thunder. And if you hear more thunder, you could wait another 30 minutes from the last one. They just set a timer every time they hear it.
Huh. Interesting.
So, yeah. Okay. Which I learned that weekend.
Yeah, there you go.
When I was
the knowledge.
When I was little, we used to swim during thunderstorms all the time. Like that was, I just didn't even, I don't know. There was no supervision,
To be fair, they also have a giant, like, turbine on a large metal tower right next to the pool. So
that's good. That's like, good. It keeps it away.
It's a lightning rod straight to the water because the turbine spins the pump.
Water.
So as the wind turns the turbine, it pumps the water. And so they're like, that's lightning rod to the water.
That sounds like bad design on their part.
Well, I don't think they get a lot of lightning. I hope.
If they have a plan in place, you'd think they get something.
They do have a plan, and the plan is 30 minutes after the last. As long as the first one doesn't hit, everybody's going to be fine.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's true. I saw that you did the 7 Mile Rim.
Yep.
Sean, what other trails did you manage to hit up down there?
We didn't do a ton of, so we did this back way in from Gateway, which I don't remember what the roads are, but you go through some stuff to get in there. And that road that we came in on, I could probably look it up and figure it out, but it had a crazy amount of cyclists. I was like blown away at the mountain bikes on it, but not a hard trail, just like drove it into Onion Creek area.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Then we drove the Onion Creek Road in. We stopped at the creek, which was really nice. Nice little break because it was sunny and awesome that day. And then we went to Top of the World from there. And Luke did a little bit of research, and he's been out there once or twice, I think, too, already. But I hadn't been yet, and I'm only like tiniest bit familiar with the area. I kind of know some of like the main trails that other off-road people would know, and that's about it. So
yeah,
I know the view from Top of the World, but I know nothing about the trail beyond that. So he tells me, hey, we could go to Top of the World over here. It's like a 6 out of 10 or something on Onyx. Like, it's fine. And I was like, okay, cool. I didn't look at the distance. I just thought to myself, okay, they'll be like, I asked him, are there any big obstacles? He said, there's like one or two big obstacles, but like otherwise it's just pretty tame. I said, okay. So we went over there, and it was like lunchtime or so. And we started that trail, and it turns out it is like the Rubicon in that it just keeps happening. It's not that difficult. Like, you could Jeep on 33s would be just fine out there for like 90% of it. There's some optional stuff that is actually kind of gnarly, but like most of it was just kind of fine. It just was so tedious. It took forever. And we ran into the Arizona 4x4 Club, I think was the name of their club. So big shout out to those guys. There was about 100 of them coming down the trail in different groups. And we saw everything from, I took a picture, Mike, of a GMT 400 Tahoe that was just ugly as sin out there.
There should be.
And not a really nice one, just like one that was there. And like, 392s on 1 tons and 40s and regular JKs and JLs and all the ducks you could ever imagine and side by sides and all sorts of fun stuff. Anyways, so we did Top of the World. Gorgeous view. Not great for having dogs in the car, just gnarly enough to not want to have your dogs with you probably. But a couple fun optional lines that we took, and we were really trying to be super easy on everything because it was just Luke and I, and I didn't, you know, we just were not prepared for like a big wheeling trip, but it'd be fun to go out there with a group and actually like wheel it for the day. And then we camped out there, which was really awesome. We found like 7 o'clock, 6:30 or so. We finally got to a campsite. It was gorgeous. Obviously the area is.
Yeah.
It's just gorgeous. In general. Yeah. It's gorgeous. Hard not to win out there.
Yeah. You can't like stumble upon a bad view. So,
yeah.
So that was amazing. And then, the next day we went and did 7 Mile, which was really nice too. 7 Mile is kind of a similar thing where you could make it really not like crazy, but you could make it a hard wheeling trip if you wanted, but if you don't want to, you can just kind of cruise it. So it was okay. Yeah. There was some off camber stuff that not a huge fan of. And I think that's part of Moab, right? Like that's kind of the thing.
Yeah.
especially with an extra heavy tent now.
Yeah, exactly. I was like pointed. I watched Luke go up this thing and I got on the radio. I kind of felt bad because he was in the middle of this, like, really, it's like this hill where you go up and then you take a left.
And then you take the left.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And from the other side of the little canyon, it looked incredibly sketchy. And I was like,
yeah,
Luke, does that feel as sketchy as it looks? And I just get, yes. Creeps along. We made it just fine. His comment was kind of the same thing I was, is that there wasn't like a bunch of debris of other cars at the bottom of it. So it was like, all right, we're not the only idiots that's ever tried this. So it's okay.
Yeah. No, what's funny is like before I did that trail, I actually found like some article about it or whatever. And it basically, it said that there is on record, no vehicle that has ever rolled on that obstacle.
Okay.
It made sure to mention, like, it's going to feel like you're going to roll, but just know that no vehicle has ever been known to have rolled on.
It's
got to
be that sweet spot. It must be that like sweet
spot.
It
really is.
Where you have tons of grip and it's okay, but you feel off camber enough that you pay attention probably.
Yeah.
Because I bet if you were a little less and you're like, oh, I'm not worried about it.
You go up it and it's like this weird like bump.
Yeah.
To come like,
and then you got to turn.
And as soon as you get over the bump, you're turning left.
Oh man.
Like sharp. And it's on, and yeah, it is just on the side of this like round mound of slick rock.
Yeah.
Quote unquote slick rock, you know?
That was right as it was raining too. So it had just stopped.
Funny,
really
that's
rain.
How it did it for me too.
Oh man.
God dang it. There was actually a really cool line there that we kind of like sat there and stared at, but it was pouring down rain. And I was like, this does not seem like the best time to try, you know, giant stair steps out here on this giant slick rock. But
yeah.
And it was really cool though. That was a really nice trail. It wasn't, quite as relentless as Top of the World. It was the same probably like rating and technicality. It really wasn't like any less difficult or more difficult, but there was a lot less of that stupid small rock. Like I hate that like 6-inch ledge after 6-inch ledge. It's like, I just, why? I don't want to drive on this.
Bump, bump, bump,
yeah.
Bump, bump, bump. Yeah.
So that was an experience. And then we got done with that and camped in a so-so camp spot until I turned around and realized again, the view was absolutely stunning. So we were like, well, it's kind of a dumb camp spot. And I was kind of grumbly about it and wandering around and getting stuff fixed, you know, getting camp set. And I set my chair out and looked behind where I had been looking and went, oh, okay. Never mind.
No more complaints. Not too bad.
Turns out we're doing all right.
And then I will say one of my favorite pieces of that trip for like the getting there and getting back. So like we figured the distance is similar to getting to the Alvord, which is kind of fun. It's like 5 hours basically. So it's a little more, but not much. And, but the cool thing is you leave there, right? And you drive this little 2-lane road. Colin's been there, so he knows. And then you get to I-70 and you can drive 90 miles an hour on I-70 almost all the way to Denver. So now you do have a 11,500 foot pass with a giant tunnel, and we found a snowstorm on the way home, which was crazy.
Nice.
But yeah, it's pretty cool to drive. Like, I love how barren and open it is in Eastern Oregon. And that's like part of the draw too, is that you can just kind of bomb out there and it's fun and there's rarely any traffic or anything, but like freeway life's all right. It's kind of nice to go fast on the freeway and have truck stops along the way and all those fun things that you don't have to think about anymore. Like, just yeah, whatever.
I once did that 11,000 foot pass with the tunnel in I had a red JKU and I had no doors on it.
Jeez.
When I did it, I had a buddy that was like, we were going to Denver. So I was dating a girl over there at the time, and me and this buddy got in the Jeep and we're like, it was the middle of summer. It didn't get cold or anything, but like his soda popped.
Oh yeah.
Like we were outside and both of us are like getting to the top and we're going, like, I'm just driving, man. And I'm like out of breath. So I don't recommend that part. You should have doors. You should have some sort of cabin pressure. But it was exciting. It's a cool pass.
That's beautiful.
If I remember correctly.
Beautiful road for a freeway. That's for sure.
Yeah. there's some cool trees and stuff around.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely good overall. I will go back. And that was the other takeaway. Was like, all right, well, we can go back like for another 3-day weekend pretty easy. And I know Colin's going to absolutely hate me saying this. I'm so sorry, Colin, because we've talked about it so many times before. And you're so right. We should all go there. We should set up.
Yeah. But
I think it would be amazing. We could camp it, or we could do an Airbnb kind of thing. But honestly, there's a million places to camp and it's all gorgeous. And we could take hard trails or not, and it would be amazing.
My dad really wants to go. A bunch of folks that, here's my thought, because my grandpa and my dad also want to go. So I was going to ask you, and you as well, the thought would be they would want to drive RVs out there and camp in like one base camp area and then go hit trails and stuff. Is it kind of set up so you could do something like that?
There's some RV parks that you can go to, yeah, that are in town and like slightly out of town.
But they're like park parks?
They're like RV park parks. Yeah. So full hookup and all of that. So,
because that would be what they want. And then like my dad would trailer his Jeep over, and my grandpa would probably do the same if he was still interested in doing that. But that to me, like, that seems like the way to do it, to have a base camp, have a space where you can just come back to it.
Yeah, that's why we were always thinking, like, get a house. Yeah. Even if it doesn't have enough rooms, you know.
Throw some tents up in the backyard.
A couple people can camp. We can rotate in and out. Like,
well, especially with the setup that we have now. I mean, we could throw 3 full-size, pretty decent tents in the backyard of whatever Airbnb, and that could just be a bedroom.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Especially since, like, a rooftop tent would be a pain because you got to shut it down every day. I don't know. Ground tents, life is not bad.
I'd just,
you know,
ask for some help and we'd take it off and set it on the ground.
Yeah.
I was going to need it.
No. it really is a bucket list place for me, because especially since we did the Rubicon and it lived up so hard to its name, I'm like, all right, we got to go try some of these other places. Yeah.
We could go to Moab and spend a week and try and wheel every day, and there would still be trails that we didn't do.
Yeah. Yeah. And I want to go do Sand Hollow too. I want to go to Sand Hollow too. So I have this dream scenario where my white truck stays camp truck and I end up with a TJ or a YJ that I can, or something similar, that I can wheel and tow behind it and go set up a base camp and go explore. But Moab is high on the list.
Yeah,
definitely. Well, spot.
Speaking of finding you something to.
Oh right.
Oh yeah.
Take something wheeling.
Oh well. That's what I'm into.
I have, you know, 4 options here.
I bet one of them I would.
That could.
I bet I would pay money for at least one of them.
Fill that need.
Here we go.
So,
I'd like to look at the stats here before we get started. I'd like to look at the stats. I think that I am the most pro pay money of anybody in the group at this point. I feel like I've said
yes.
If
any of our listeners would like to go back through the episode,
take a look,
take a tally of everybody's yes and no's.
I feel like I have.
Let us know. Just email us at secretrscp.
Oh.
At gmail.
You know what? At this point, I got 49,000 unanswered.
You would know.
I would know.
If you could send you an email in there.
You could send me a lot, and I would have no idea.
Where shall I start?
Newest.
Okay. Right. So that would be. What year was it? Okay. So it's this one. So I love how I always I say, oh, yeah, this one. And I go to that tab rather than share screen of that tab. I'll just pull it up real quick. All right. So this is a 97 expedition. $8,000. My loss, your gain, it says. So already a great start, Mike. 97 expedition wheeler, mud truck, show off rig, whatever you prefer.
I like
too much to
options.
List on this rig. Please inquire within, as I'm too busy to post a big story. He said,
pretty long description for him being too busy.
It's a daily driver on 40s, custom hand built cradle lift with an AccuAir management system. Period. No capital, no space. Bunch of new air ride parts and spare parts come with the rig. Again, period. No space, no capital. Only reason I'm posting it is I have no time to look into the front diff again to see what I messed up on LOL. Period, no space, no capital.
It's hard when, to do that, by the way.
Yeah, when yeah,
it automatically does that for you.
Yeah, 4x4, I know your pinion is not supposed to go back and forth while moving, crying face, crying, or crying laughing face 4 times. Again, period, no space, no capital. My loss, your gain. He already said that. Again, with the same mainly looking for trades only. Oh, here we go. Here's a space.
Wait a minute. Why mainly only?
I don't know.
Mainly looking for trades only.
Yeah. Here we actually have proper grammatical here. We've got a period, a space, and a capital letter. Things I'm looking for in a trade, period. 18 to 20 foot running jet boat, comma, no space, side by side, spelt out.
I bet.
Or sand cars with a decent power plant, Pinto. Or Honda powered, etc.
S10 V8 Blazer or pickup.
S10 V8 Blazer or pickup. I'm into anything fast and loud. Lots invested, 8,000 cash or trade me out. If interested or have any questions, feel free to reach out. Thank you. I still don't get how he can have that many sentences.
Broken. The space bar's got to be broken.
With like, a period, no space bar,
I'm sure he hits it, hits the space, and it doesn't work. He's got... He's missing like 4 things on his keyboard. It's got to be.
All right, Marty, let's see this truck.
Okay.
Here's if it'll play. If it's, so the video that he has is a video that is a picture.
Good.
And that's it. Oh, there we go. It's a slideshow.
It's a slideshow. Okay, I see.
So yeah, it's got the typical SEMA bro truck.
Carolina squat.
Like weird arms lift.
Yeah, the monster truck stuff.
Yeah.
So, but what is the front cowl. Axle?
I can't.
What's probably the stock?
Well, if it's stock, it was IFS.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
But then why does he have the arms?
Why would he have those arms? That's yeah, what... that's weird.
But it's also broken.
So who knows?
So
those do not look like 40s.
They definitely really don't look like 40s.
Maybe, but I don't know. It also looks like it might be straight. Oh.
Yeah, it's got a solid axle.
Yeah.
I just...
Watch it be like twin traction beam.
No,
it's solid. Okay, good. Yeah.
Maybe the wheels are big.
They are big wheels. I mean, when you compare it to the size of the door, it does look like a big tire.
Yeah.
I think the way I'm looking at it, to me...
Interiors... I mean, not bad other than this weird box in the middle. I don't know what that is. Oh, got to have a subwoofer in the back.
15 in the back. All right.
I think the thing is that this looks kind of like an Explorer, but it's actually an Expedition, right? So
it's an Expedition, yeah.
So it's the same body look as an Explorer, but
it's got a roll pan
way bigger
on the back instead of a bumper.
Well, yeah.
I'm kind of into some of the styling choices that he's made for a ugly brodozer, to be honest.
Yeah, it's an ugly brodozer.
The lightning bumper and then the cowl hood and the roll pan. I'm not, and I don't hate. Honestly, if it was like on, you know, 22s and very low, I might be pretty into this thing.
Is it another speaker box that's right between the front seats? It's got a cord
is it a refrigerator?
Going into it.
Oh, yeah.
Is it a fridge?
No.
No, it's a wood box.
It's definitely a sub box. I love the 1999 fold-out screen, too. Like, that is era-specific.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, gotta have that.
Probably has 4 boxes for other things. A sat tuner, a DVD player.
I mean, is it on tons?
All sorts of stuff.
Because that would be my thing. If it's on,
I don't think it's on time.
If that's a 60, then I feel like there's potential here.
I wish I could enhance, but those don't.
That one
look
right there. That's the most.
One,
enhanced.
Two, three, nope. 4, 5 lug is what I'm seeing on.
I
that
see
thing.
That too. Oh,
weird.
Now.
Then what would be 5 lug with a solid front like that?
44?
Yeah.
Like a
Ford, there were 5-lug 44s, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, I guess you're right.
Ford had some 5-lug 44s.
And they were... Do they have 5? But what's the rears in those? Those are... Those 8.5s? Or did the Expeditions...
I think they were 8.8s.
Yeah. Which what was that, five lug? Yeah,
yeah.
Those were five lug, yeah.
Yep.
So that would make sense that it would be a five lug 44.
They even had four lug 8.8s in a bunch of Mustangs.
Honestly, even if those were 1 ton axles, I'm still out because that does not make $8,000.
Yeah, I think I am out as well. If I knew it was 60 and it was full tons, and it's got remote reservoir shocks. It's got
in the front
air ride and some other stuff. Like, you could maybe
yeah,
make
air
it
ride's
cool
to go up.
Yeah,
even more.
You could make it cool if you.
I would
did the
I
right
would
things, but I don't
put
think
some
you
air
can.
Quotes on that. Cool. I also
I mean,
would not.
You cut out the fenders. You make it cool, like as a wheeler. Like, you stop the show truckness, but I don't think it's close enough.
I feel like it's
a lot of unfuckery.
Yeah, it's gone so far to the, you know, Brodozer show truck look.
And it's still probably a 5.4.
Probably can't
definitely
flex for shit.
Yeah, it's still probably a 5.4, and it's probably got spark plugs blown halfway out the side.
If you're lucky, yeah, it's a 5.4.
Here's hoping.
I can't even believe that you would be, I mean, this is the dumbest thing to base this on, but it's like a cloth interior base truck. Like, it's not even an Eddie Bauer or something. Like, you got to have that nice interior if you're building a Brodozer like that. You can't do that to a base model.
You just got to build what you have, you know?
Yeah, sure.
He was going to interior swap it next.
King Ranch interior.
He just doesn't have enough time.
King Ranch interior in that thing.
All made from same cow.
All right, so this one is also a Ford. Mike contributed this. We were talking about it because I saw it earlier this week or yesterday or something like that too. But this is a 94 Ford Explorer.
Yeah.
Sport two door.
Okay.
Has a fresh motor in it, runs strong, 4-inch lift, 38s that are Patagonias, unfortunately. Posi rear, leather seats. Put this together to basically snow wheel. One of the radiator end caps is seeping.
I know a guy who can fix a radiator.
Yep.
Basically snow wheeling it.
$4,500 out in Prineville. So it's got a shitty light bar, about as shitty as the tires.
I like the white grille though. I like the white bumper, white
there
grille combo.
There he is, basically snow wheeling.
There he is, basically snow wheeling.
Again.
And again, so
yes.
He didn't lie. It was basically for snow wheeling.
Yeah. I would yes this purely. I think it looks pretty cool.
I think
and...
I changed the buttons.
Oh.
There we go.
There you go. Oliver's proven that the front end can do the Rubicon, so
that's not well, that's not the same.
Oliver's isn't exactly stock.
I'll bring extra batteries and some welding rod.
Yeah.
Oliver's
isn't exactly
it's
stock.
Not stock at all.
This is just this I think might have, like it says, it has 4-inch lift, which is probably just springs.
Yeah.
Yeah, but they had like a 44 front option in those.
It's a 44 TTB.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's the only option they had.
That's what I'm saying. So I feel like if you do it right, it's open still, which I think will help. I think I'm in a yes on this. I like the two door. I like the white bumper with the white grill combo. I think that's. I'm not against it.
I don't know. I am having a hard time with this one.
I think I'm a no.
Yeah. I think like younger.
I need more desert trucky.
Yeah, I could see that too. I would like, but I think that that's a doable thing with this. I think that.
I mean, yeah, you could get there, but
I just I don't know what I'd do with it. It's funny because there's been some things that we've had on here that I'm like, I don't even know what I'd do with it. And I still love it, and this I don't love enough to get over the I don't know what I'd do with it.
Yeah,
I could basically go snow wheeling with it. So that
basically
that's pretty cool, but
yeah.
No.
I feel like at $4,500, I could get like a really nice one that was stock.
Yeah.
And I'd rather have that to pay money for it than Prineville's snow wheeling special.
Special.
I hear you. It doesn't look like it's poorly done though. It doesn't look like he has great taste in light bars. And whatever sticker paint thing on the thing there is.
Oh, it's the like, shitbox stamp of approval.
Cool.
Oh,
that's good.
What that is, from what I can tell.
Oh. But like the bumper doesn't seem bad. It's got a decent winch in it. It's, I don't like the boner bar on the bumper.
Is that a decent winch?
I think so. I think
it's a super winch, maybe.
Yeah.
Based on the color, but yeah.
A nice fairlead.
I know as well. I understand why you like it, Mike. I'm not going to say.
Yeah.
Yeah. I get that too.
No. And if I pulled up in it and you guys wouldn't want to own it, but you wouldn't give me, you would give me the right amount of shit about having it.
It's the regular.
You wouldn't. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think if I pulled up with a trophy truck, you'd give me the regular amount of shit. Not that I have the money for a trophy truck.
It would be, wow, I can't believe you made such a good decision.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm surprised that you would.
You finally made a good decision.
And then. It's good. I got strong shoulders.
Impressed.
I don't mind. I can hold this.
Okay. All right. So we've gotten through that one. So we're going to go. Okay. This guy right here. Sure.
When it's only getting older.
We've got a, well, you said start with the newest.
I know, but that's cool.
77 Chevrolet Pathfinder, it says.
Oh, man.
4x4 van. So we've got fresh paint. Oh,
look at those windows. Those are rad.
With a base clear PPG, rebuilt auto transmission by Destis Transmission.
That's the best.
It's got a 205, posi rear, 33s, new alternator, new starter, MSD, rebuilt quadra jet on the Chevy 350. New LED turn signals, stainless grille, battery, exhaust, worn hubs, great start to camper van project.
I want to point out this is 8-lug, by the way.
This is in White City.
Okay.
It is.
I mean, I thought that I would think that that would be more expensive.
I do love that back window and the visor.
Yeah.
Like that's, I mean, rad. That is quintessential.
Needs a front bumper, but we can build something.
Yeah, I think
if you want to build a winch bumper, I think out of it anyway.
I'm in on this, and I don't even want to turn it into a camp van. I just want to drive it because it's cool.
Oh yeah.
There's a lot. He's got quite a few pictures on here, actually. I'm curious to see.
Oh my god!
That's so cool,
man.
With the skylight,
that interior.
Oh man.
Yeah. Yep, new exhaust, 205. Okay.
Probably a turbo 400 if it's a. Man, that thing's so rad.
Nothing in the back. Yeah, so it's
ready to go. You could just haul
totally ready.
Motorcycle.
You send that to me? I'm going to send it to Haley as one of the options for our for her next car. We'll get the kids sitting way in the back. They can't kick your seat if they're 15 feet away.
They're all the way back there.
That seat is cool.
I'm trying to figure 14 out.
14-volt rear.
Yeah, so it's solid axle on leaf springs in the front.
Yeah.
Yeah, with a 14-volt in the rear, and that's a 60 in the front.
Sure, that's not a 44. I don't know. Either way, it's awesome. I don't care. Still in, no matter what.
The 44 has smaller tubes. They always look like the tubes are too small for the pumpkin to me.
Yeah.
If I was going to make a guess. But yeah, I'm a yes. I'm a yes on this.
I mean, there's a lot of lugs on that wheel.
Yeah, it's an 8-lug for sure.
So,
and if it's a 14-volt rear, is it a 1500 they say, or is it a 2500?
This would be a 30
on it.
If it's a 30, it's a 110.
Yeah, it's a 30.
Yeah,
I see three right there. Of course, there was this picture.
That doesn't really doesn't really mean anything.
I mean,
for the
badging
front
doesn't necessarily mean anything. But
I've never seen anyone fake a badge. We know that the badges show truth.
Well, the back axle is probably stock because it's a 110 van.
Yeah, exactly.
14-volt. I think that's a 60.
Yeah, kingpin 60 probably.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think it's awesome no matter what.
I think as much as I'm not a van guy, I think
I
would pay money for this particular van.
Yeah.
How much was it?
It's only 13. And I feel like that's pretty cheap for what people want.
A sassed 4x4 van.
Yeah.
That has been painted.
Yeah. 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 And body worked.
Like.
And has the cool visor.
Yeah, it's a.
Yeah.
It's definitely a pretty solid start for doing cool stuff. I'm not going to lie.
With a Chevy 350, you can keep it running for the next 200 years.
Yeah. I'm not going to pass any fuel stations. No, but
it will. But
it'll run.
It'll drive there every time. Yeah.
That's pretty cool.
And I bet it probably stock on a 30 is going to be a turbo 400. So
should be
transmissions never gonna explode.
It could be a 350, 350.
I think all their 2500s and up had a turbo 400. I think only the passenger cars and the light duty trucks were 350s.
Okay.
Cause I was searching for a long time for a 400. When I had that LS that I was going to put in something and then I didn't.
Okay. Well then we're going to move on to the last one here.
All right, I got 2 out of 3 so far.
And this one right here is a 73 Land Cruiser. So it's the Iron Pig FJ55. Listing my dream build, I finished 4 years, 10,000 miles ago. I'm out of town 18 of the next 36 months. Ridiculously fun to drive, cruises at 80. The only 80s chassis 2UZ manual trans FJ55 that I know of. Listing here before goes on bring a trailer. So it's got an 0147 out of an LX470, Northwest Toys bell housing, ORS wiring harness, Marlin crawler, R150 F5 speed, LCE dual comp clutch, 23 spline dual cases, triple sticked, skid place T-case mount, it's got a fancy fan, 94 frame with the FJ80 or FZJ80.
I just want to point out, if I was going to list things in an order, I don't think I would have put the good radiator fan ahead of the fact that it's 80 series chassis and axles. I mean, I don't know. Maybe that's just me.
Fully service axis brakes, RCV chromo front shafts.
Tank? Holy shit.
Locked hubs, sleeve radius arms. OME shocks, vintage air AC. Wow, it's got AC. Yeah, 55. How does he have 55 gallons of fuel?
That's a lot.
And that's heavy.
Is that a typo?
Yeah, I mean,
man, like, that's
35 would be a lot.
Would be impressive, yeah.
I think I have a 30-gallon tank in my F250.
35s on 17s, quarter-inch steel bumpers. Got a winch, underbody, inside, painted with 3 layers of rust prevention and heat proofing, 2 layers of Dynamat stuff, not stuck down.
What?
Okay, well, I'm not sure what that means. Bluetooth radio, much more.
Let's get to the pictures.
His license plate is Bacon 1.
Ah.
Because it's the Iron Pig.
Yeah, okay. I've always thought that these are... people hate them for some reason. Aaron and I have had this conversation a bunch of times. I think they look cool. I think they look cool too.
It's just that they're usually total rusted out pieces of shit. They're
usually pieces of crap.
Yeah.
This thing is.
It was actually my dad's, one of his best memory wheeling rigs that he had was one of these.
Huh.
He had a chainsaw winch.
Oh my God.
So you ran the chainsaw and it was a winch.
That's cool.
Yeah, it's crazy. Yeah, 1UZ in there.
I love this.
Okay, so maybe we're gonna see this sound deadening. Oh no, that's not.
Those are like Tahoe seats. Don't love that.
Yeah, those are
okay.
Yeah, that's definitely from a Tahoe, and they're not that good.
Doing what you can do there, I guess.
Yeah, needs some interior work for sure.
Yeah. Headliner's not bad.
Yeah,
for an old like a factory style headliner. Okay.
Fancy shots.
It's got the fancy OMEs, yeah.
That little dial thing.
What is that?
No, you know
what
it
is. Oh, that's his fuel pump.
Yeah.
It's like, what is that?
There's his wiring.
Wow, it's a long.
And everything. Yeah, it's got the doubler and all that shit on it.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. 80 series chassis. Some gears.
That looks like more.
Yeah. That's extended or shortened.
Probably shortened, yeah.
I absolutely love it. I'm 150% in on this. Yeah, I don't even care what it costs. I don't even want to know.
It's $45,000 because I won't let you not know.
Damn.
Yeah, 45.
That's a little steep, but it's still cool. I'm sure he's got that much into it, but that does not always mean that that's the value. It's so sick, though.
It's very cool.
Yeah, I think I'm a yes here as well.
I also.
Yeah, I think it's.
I'm a yes.
I think it's all the right kinds of rad.
That's a great little, like, not over the top combo.
The only problem I have. Yeah, the only problem I have is that the value / cost and the way that I would want to play it don't match up. I would feel bad about wheeling it hard. I would feel bad about cutting it for 35s and or 37s.
It's already got.
It's 35s. I would want to go up to 37s or 40s. And yeah, I would feel bad a little bit about that stuff, but I don't think that I would feel bad enough to not do it.
Yeah, it's on 35s. I don't. Yeah, I mean, I guess it might need some. I wouldn't feel bad about it.
Yeah,
because most of them you're gonna find are so rusted out that.
But that's why I feel. That's why I would feel bad.
Any of the rusted out ones.
No, I know.
If you cut it up.
That's yeah. That's true. And to me, like I said, I wouldn't feel bad enough not to do it. But as I did it, I'd be like, oh, I was so clean and wow. And now look at it with 40s.
No, no one will ever remember you if you're not willing to cut your shit up.
That's true. So I'm going to cut my F-250 until I can fit 42s.
Okay, so wheelbase is 106.3 on those, whereas the FJ80 wheelbase is 112.
Yeah, so they shortened the frame.
So they had to shorten it a little bit.
Nice. Well, it is awesome.
Yeah.
Yep, very cool.
Can you go back to the picture of the frame patch, though?
Mm-hmm.
I always see this, and you see different types of different ways that people patch those.
It's this picture.
I feel like I would want more, just personally. I feel like I would have wanted, I mean, maybe it's like the whole inside is like a big C-channel. But just that diamond there, and you see people do.
Well, I think that's just over the seam because I'm sure. Yeah. You know, obviously, it's welded for the seam, and then.
Yeah.
But I would want that plate to be 8 inches long on either side of the seam.
Yeah.
Or something. You know what I mean?
Maybe
they did that on the inside, I guess, because now that I'm looking at it, you can see that there's more, like that top piece there. It looks like it rounds over.
Yeah.
So maybe it's C-channeled on the inside completely, and then they just did it on the outside because it would be overkill. But I don't know. I've seen like some builds, Dirt Every Day did it on a couple of different rigs where they extended or shortened a frame. And those guys do like 2 foot lengths if they can fit it, as long as they can get on either side of it. But yeah, that's cool.
Very.
Yep.
Yep.
What year is it? 75?
Three.
73? Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's just neat.
Agreed.
I would want to see it on 40, so I want to know what that would look like on 40. But the thing is cartoon balloon.
Yeah, spoiler alert, very cool.